Okay, welcome back to Coast AM, and welcome back to Open Lines. And we'll get right to them when I come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. Let us go back to the phones now. Let's go to Bob in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to get things started here. Bob, welcome to the show.
Welcome, George.
You are welcome.
Yeah, this is Bob in Chattanooga. Hope is lacking in this country.
Hope?
Hope. You watch kids walking down the street in any town in the United States. You see their head drooped down. And the only way they find any recourse is to join gangs or get in touch with other people. The true hope of being isolated. I was once in Oceanside, California, got caught in a riptide. I was started to be carried out to sea. And during that trip, if I had not had hope, I would have just drowned I went back into my thoughts of how to get out of the situation and went sideways against the current and was able to come back in and survive. I had two tours in Vietnam. And if I had lost hope, I don't think I would have made it. So you look around, you see that there's lost of a connection of hope and understand. I think it's comradeship. I think we've lost a lot of hospitality in this country of taking people in and watching over them. I know there's a lot of instances where that's not the case. There's a lot of people out there that do show hospitality, but
sure.
You just look around and you just see downtrodden people. I think it's hope.
A lot of that's being whittled away, and that's that could be exactly what you're saying. And you talk about, though, the lack of hope. It's all over the planet. I mean, look what's going on in all these countries, all these issues. You know, in the Middle East, you have all these young people demonstrating, fighting. They have no hope. They have nothing. If you don't have hope, if you don't have a glimpse of what a future could be, you're going to rebel and you're going to fight, and that's what's happening. You're absolutely right. We'll go to Canada. Rosemary's with us, east of the Rockies. Hello, Rosemary. Thanks for calling.
Morning,
go ahead.
George, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I have two stories to tell you. Okay. One is this happened back in the early 70s. My mom used to work in Hamilton, and she'd come home, and she'd have to cross the lift bridge. So she's usually home around 9:30, 10. And so when she got in, my dad said, "Why are you home at so late?" And she goes, "Well, what time is it?" He said, "It's 2:30. And she says, "No." She says, it should only be 10 o'clock. And dad said, "No, it's 2:30. So my mom had lost some time. But on the way home, she noticed in the sky there was this huge white spotlight. So she, you know, we kind of figured that probably was a UFO. And another incident is my sister lives in Port Colborne, and when I go up to visit her, she always says to me, "You always bring visitors with you," and I, because there's always cold spots in the house, and other times she'll sense that something's going on. She says, "Whenever you come up," she says, "make sure you take them home with you." And another one, I stayed at my sister's, and when she woke up to look at me, I was entombed in a purple haze. And she said, "I had a smile on my face and just sleeping peacefully."
Jeez, what do you think that represented?
I think I'm well protected, and that's how I feel. I think I'm just well protected.
By?
In the presence of God.
By who? Guardian angels?
Yes.
Have you ever had a situation where you didn't think you were going to get out of, but you did?
Sometimes, yeah, you get in situations or you just get that intuition. I always listen to, you know, your gut instinct. Like if you're walking a certain area and something inside you says, you know, don't go that way, it's bad. Or if you're going to go through an intersection, you just wait that extra second because you know that if you go through, you're going to get hit.
That's right. And you feel it, you see it, and it happens. There's nothing like it. When that kicks in for you and works, what a difference. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, thank you, and you're on the air with me. Go ahead.
Hey, George, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, Joe.
Just wanted to go out on a limb with you, if you don't mind, for a minute.
Okay, let's do it. Let's hope the limb doesn't break with both of us on it.
We had a caller on a couple nights ago mention something about the Higgs boson and the particle itself.
Yeah.
The person you were speaking to had said that he correctly identified the possibility that this particle could control mass. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with comic books, but...
I used to have them all.
There was a comic book character called Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a scientist who found a particle that could control mass, and he used it to shrink and grow. He was either Ant-Man or Giant Man. I was just out there when that guy said that. My mind just went, wow, what if they were right? What if that is actually something that's physically possible?
That is very possible. I remember the movie Them. It was about giant ants, and this all came out because of nuclear testing in the desert and things like that. That's very possible. I mean, mutants could be very, very big. Tom, what do you got text-wise back in L.A.?
Sharon in Los Angeles texts. She says, I've been listening to the show for a while now, and you guys sound like you have fun on Fridays. Can you share one of your funniest behind-the-scenes moments you can remember?
Funniest behind-the-scenes moments. At the studio with good old Tommy and Danny and everybody else there. We've had some moments.
We've had some funny things, yeah.
Strange things have happened.
I was curious as to what you were going to say.
I don't know if I can say some of them.
The ones you can.
The funny ones I can't repeat on the air, believe it or not. But we've had some comical moments. We've had a lot of phone calls that don't get on the air of people that you've had permission from and you've recorded them. That might be a great show all by itself.
We should do that.
But I mean, how many have you accumulated now?
I probably have about 35, 40.
Hilarious.
There's a lot. They are funny. What do you think is the funniest thing in the studio to me?
Probably looking at me.
Your face when you were surprised when Morgus busted through the studio door, I will never forget.
That was close. That was close to Christmas. And he was talking to me, and I had my back to the door.
You bought it. Hook, line, and sinker.
I mean, where the new studio is now, I would have seen him coming in. But that's good. How is he doing? You're the last to have talked with him.
I talked to him about 2 months ago, and he was just laying low. He wasn't doing much at all. He's up there, and he was relaxed. He was watching the ball game, actually.
My buddy Morgus.
That was so
I will
funny.
Always remember that day you took him to his hotel in a convertible that you had. It must have been 45 degrees out. And I saw you guys, and I saw you two on the freeway, and he looked like a mannequin. Like, he was so cold, he wasn't moving. And I swear to God, I thought you got a mannequin from a store and put it next to you.
I remember. He was sorry that he said, yeah, we can go topless.
Yeah, that was funny. I miss him. Okay, get the rest of our calls. Let's go to LaVoy in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, LaVoy.
Hey, nice to meet you. It's been a pleasure to get you free to pick up my call.
Sure.
I love your show.
Thank you, LaVoy.
Show's awesome. I have a thing to hit on, Craig. Craig made an awesome point last night. Absolutely love that one.
He's a straight shooter, isn't he?
Yes, straight to the point. I got two words here when it comes to us of awareness as people, and it's fear and ignorance. A couple of words here, fear and ignorance. And the fear goes along with comfortability in a society. And ignorance is seeing the obvious signs and not being active and being aware of it.
And both of those can destroy you if you don't control it.
Absolutely. It's like eating something you know is bad for your health.
And you know it.
And so the point I'm getting at here is that as a people, we allow these things to happen, and we're not stepping up. Now, I do agree with Craig. There is a dynasty that's going on within in our government.
Too much.
There's a lot going on that we don't see, that we don't know of, and it has a lot to do with the way we live. I mean, hell. I mean, think about it. EPA. They allow over a raise a certain amount of or percentage of environmental toxins in our environment. You know, FDA, they allow certain things that that's into our market, and anything that deals with controversial, they'll end up trying to shut it down, or they'll strip a doctor or someone who blows a whistle at certain things, threatened with a strip of his license, or confiscate anything that person may have found in the research.
Well, look at what these doctors are doing now, and you're right, LaBoy. Well, look what they're doing to Dr. Oz. I like the guy. I think he does a good job. I think, you know, when he tries to present alternative medicine that's cutting edge, mainstream doctors hate him. And 10 of them, pretty prominent people, who are not very holistic, who don't believe in alternative medicine, are signed a petition to try to get him fired from Columbia University. That's ridiculous. You know, he at least has the guts to tell you to try to do some different things. And let's see what happens. I'm going to try to get him on the show, Dr. Oz, so we can show how much support we've got for him, and maybe we can help him out a little bit. Let's see if we can get him on. Roger in Camarillo, California. Hey, Raj, go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Norrie?
Good, Roger. How about you?
Good. Thank you for having me on your show.
Sure thing. Sure thing. What's going on?
I can barely hear you. Hey, I just, you know, I'm an Army veteran, and in 2002, you know, after the World Trade Centers and all that stuff, our unit, I was in the National Guard unit at the time, was slated to go and to Salt Lake City and work the Olympics there. So our unit, we got tasked to go and guard Deseret Chemical Depot in Tooele, Utah, and also to you know, post up on Dugway out there. And I want to tell you about an incident that, you know, I personally was involved in.
All right.
Out there was, we had, you know, we're working the front gates, and we're bringing in these big trucks, and basically they have, you know, munitions, and they also have, like nuclear warheads to be dismantled and whatnot. And they come in with these UN inspectors, and, I noticed this one truck, it had been in a few times. And like I was telling your screener there, he this guy kind of like looked like Santa Claus, had suspenders, but he had a really nice Peterbilt truck that I you know, took a liking to. I was like, man, that's a nice truck.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have these escorts that come up from the plant or the factory that escort the UN inspectors and the truck, because the truck comes in kind of, you know, under the radar. It could be disguised as like a tanker.
Sure.
Kind of like a milk truck, you know, how they have the really shiny tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've seen them disguise them as like a Walmart truck.
Wow.
You know, with Walmart on the side of it, and they'll come in with the, you know, whatever they're going to demill. And well, anyways, I was working the front gate. We get this truck through, and the other Humvees come up and escort them down to the plant. And so I get off about a half an hour later, I would say, after that truck goes through. So I drive over to Dugway, to their administration building over there. I had some things I had to do. So I take care of my business there. So I'm getting ready to go out the front gate, and there's a gas station. As you go through the front gate of Dugway, there's a gas station on the left side. So I stop in there, and I notice this truck, the same truck. And I'm like, that is the same truck. And I didn't see the driver at first, so I go into the little, it's kind of like a mini mart in gas station, and I get something to drink, and I come out, and I see the driver of the truck, and I'm like, how in the world did you get from Deseret Chemical Depot and go all the way through Rush Valley to Dugway? And he's just like, he looks at me, he goes, I can't tell you that. And I'm like, always that rumor of like tunnels.
Yeah.
Going from one place to another. And you know what? I was just like, and I was with my buddy Ben, and he was like, dude, there's tunnels. And I'm like, it might not sound like much, but you know, that has to be 30 miles.
And when he told you, Raj, that he couldn't tell you, was it like, I couldn't tell you, or I'm not going to tell you?
Like a smirky smile.
Yeah.
And he recognized me. He knew that I was the guard at the gate.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I would say, 3.5 hours prior to that. And there's no way he's going to go in there, drop his load off, go, you know, process back out of the facility. Yeah.
And you not see him leave.
Yeah, and drive all the way to Dudley, you know, and there's just no way. It can't happen.
What do you think the tunnels are for?
I don't know, other than, probably dealing with, nuclear weapons.
Or a bunker for them, for the New World Order. It's just one of the things we suspect is that these tunnels, these caverns, these places that have been made are for the Illuminati, the New World Order, the elitists who need a place to go when something is going to happen, whether it's going to be war or an asteroid attack, and we get smacked by one of those. I think they're onto something for themselves. I think that's why they do what they do. We go next to Dean in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Dean, what do you got for us?
Hello, George. Hi. This has to do with prayer and hope that maybe or nothing, talking to something that will get results. I'm not sure, but if there's two women with cancer and one belongs to a church and she gets a lot of prayer for her healing, and one doesn't, and
I'd want to be the one that gets prayed for.
Yeah, and that brings me to the should the one with the prayer get better than the one that isn't getting prayed for better? I'm just
well, that would be an interesting experiment if we could get people to volunteer like that. And the placebo would be one who does not get prayer. I don't know what you do. They'd have to have similar cancers. They'd have to not take treatment, conventional treatment, chemotherapy or radiation, and simply get prayer. Simply get prayer. Or I guess maybe you should continue the treatment for both. Give one prayer and one not and see what happens. That's always a possibility, too. It would be an interesting blind study, I think, if they tried to do that. Hey, by the way, are you liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter? Please do so by going to coasttocoastam.com. It's a great way to follow the program. And we sent out, and I send out tweets at night about the show and some other things. A very fun thing coming down in about a month. I'll let you know about that via Twitter to get things going in Facebook. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final calls. Don't go away. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and welcome back to our final segment of Open Lines here, and we'll do one more text from Tom in a moment as well. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Al, first of all, in North Carolina. Al, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Wow. Hey, Mr. Norrie, I really enjoy your program.
Thank you, Al.
Yes, I was listening to your program, and there was a Miriam, said she was a Muslim, and she studied many religions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had another caller, he said he was talking about being on the fence. You know, you're either one side or the other, and you said, well, you know, there's a lot of people, there's not as many on the fence. Do you suppose that she's already decided which side of the fence to be on?
Good question. She, to me, seemed very knowledgeable about so much, but I sensed some tension there. Did you?
Well, that's what I was, you know, it sounds like she pretty much decided which side of the fence she was going to be on, and that was the Muslim side.
Yeah, well, but that's what she is. I mean, that's what she practices.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, if she studied all these religions, then she knows.
Yeah, she does. And I got to tell you, I know many people of the Muslim faith who aren't these crazed people like these ISIS folks are. I mean, they're good, they're law-abiding, they're loving people.
Well, okay, well, that was part of what I was going to... And then you had another caller you were talking about, and you were talking about having a prayer. Somebody talk about prayer?
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I'll give you a name. His name is Steve Gaines, Pastor Steve Gaines of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. He has a book and on prayer.
It works.
And well, if you ever wanted to know about prayer, then he, if anybody, I've been studying the Bible for years, and he, I believe his book is the book, and his what is prayer? Communication with your God.
All right, I'll check into that. Steve Gaines, look, I got to tell you, I think prayer, whatever you want to call it, concentration, tapping into this consciousness, it works. When you start believing that it doesn't work, it's not going to work at all. We go next to Bergenfield, New Jersey. Regan's with us. Hello, Regan. Go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you for taking my call. I couldn't think of a better person to ask this question to. Earlier in the program, you were saying something about the great divide, you know, between the haves and the have-nots.
Yes.
And I was thinking that, okay, now with this Obamacare thing here, a lot of people who didn't have any type of health care can now get a free doctor's appointment, free medication, you know, and that's good for people who don't have any job or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
So my question to you was this. If the Republicans manage to win the next election and repeal Obamacare, do you think that people who have gotten used to something that they've never had before, like something as important as health care, you think that might trigger off some kind of protests?
Yes, no question about it. And what I think is going to have to happen is that they're going to have to do, if they're going to try to repeal Obamacare, they're going to have to come back with some kind of a program similar to it, maybe not as extreme. I have always been an advocate that if people need health care, if they don't have insurance and they can't afford it, they should be allowed it. You know, when you start dealing with somebody's health and life, you got to step up to the plate as humans and fix this. If somebody needs a kidney and can't afford it, why shouldn't he be able to get it? Now, I do think government should step in and stipulate pricing structures and stuff to avoid gouging. There are many doctors right now getting out of the field because of Obamacare. They just want nothing to do with it. So I think it needs to be fixed. I don't think the Obamacare program is what it should be. But there should be something in place. Tom, let's take our final text message from you. What do you have?
Last one of the night. Jason in Indiana. He says, I was wondering if you have read of any reported cases where people have died using a Ouija board.
I do not know. That's something we should check in with Karen Dolman about. But she, of course, is a staunch supporter of the Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never heard of a specific case of anybody just keeling over and dying.
No, neither
from a Ouija board or something. No, did something happen later where the Ouija board warned somebody and then they died? That could have happened, but I just don't know.
Maybe.
All right, Tom. Have yourself a good weekend. I'm going to see you in Denver.
Yeah.
You're producing my Beyond Belief shows.
TV show weekend.
Off you go.
Okay.
We just never stop. Tom is in Cerritos, California now. Tom, welcome to the program. You're on the air with me. Go ahead,
thank
sir.
Thank you. Great show. I wanted to continue with the Muslim theme. Did you see when Pope Francis gave his...
Yes.
He criticized the murders of Christians and, you know, out-and-out murder and, you know, almost genocide.
Yes.
And then some Muslim leaders here got up in arms about it. I think it's about time, George, that these moderate Muslims that you know, I know you're from Michigan, and there's a lot of Muslims in the Detroit area, as you know, Dearborn and places like that.
That's right.
People that are, you know, they're upstanding. I think they need to stand up and decry this. If these were radical Christians doing this to Muslims, I think there'd be a lot of criticism coming about it. And I don't hear the Muslims in this country taking a stand against it, the moderates. You know, decrying it. Maybe they're afraid of reprisal. Like, you know, this and this Doonesbury guy, Trudeau, saying that the journalist in Paris kind of brought it on themselves by criticizing Muhammad. That's the wrong approach. I mean, he should be decrying them for doing it.
For doing it, first and foremost, regardless of what might have been the catalyst.
What do you think about the moderate thing, though? You know, about the
I like that. Now, some have, not a lot, have done this. I mean, I've seen them on CNN or Fox. They've come out and, you know, they have, bitterly cried out against some of the horrendous acts. It's not being done in total, and it's not being done with a major group. And I think you're right, that needs to be done. John's in Los Angeles. John, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
How you doing? I was going to comment on earlier, you mentioned something about gangs. I wanted to mention that I think it is a fairly large problem in the U.S., and it's increased, I would say, over the years because the demographic has changed. And most of the gangs are from Central America, from Mexico and El Salvador. In fact, the largest one is from El Salvador in the world, gang. And so it's, you know, demographics change. You get different kind of people in the country now. A lot of the gang members are illegal and so forth, and they come in, you know, in the country and roaming around doing activities and killing people and so forth. I think eventually this needs to be addressed and taken care of because, you know, in society you can't have members running around randomly just killing people because they're in a gang or because they're told to do so. Something has to be done at some point. You know, because, you know, they're a threat to society as a whole, not just in the United States, but in the entire world. It's just we have a large percentage of gangs, for example, in California, obviously, in Texas.
Yes.
Certain states, we have concentrated gangs, but primarily the Hispanic gangs are the largest in the world. So, you know, coming from Central America. So something needs to be done so that people's safety is it's better because in certain states, it's obviously the gangs are growing. They're going into other states and so forth as they come in from Central America. You know, so something needs to be done before it becomes, you know, even more widespread than it already is.
Yeah, and it is widespread. I mean, you talk to police departments in these areas, it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's bad. California is a mess, and places like Texas, I mean, states like that, you know, they're gang-ridden. And eventually other states shall be as well if they don't get it under control within, you know, a reasonable time. Those other states will, you know, wind up just like California is already in Texas. So, you know, that's just a comment that I was mentioning because you mentioned something earlier about gangs.
Okay, John, thanks. Thanks for sounding off on that too, by the way. Barry is in Rock Hill, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Let's get in at least a couple more. Hey, Barry, go ahead.
Hello there, George. And
there you are.
It is to speak again, buddy.
There you are. How have you been? Everything good?
Absolutely. I was telling Tommy a minute ago, I feel the best I have in 2 or 3 years. I had a hip transplant and blah, 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 other problems. I'm 72 years old, so you know how that goes.
Well, you don't look it. You don't look it. When I met you, you don't look 72, that's for sure.
Well, you know, a lot of people tell me that, and I've never put anything on my hair, and it's just as brown as it can be. My mother was the same way.
But, oh, good.
Anyway, I wanted to make a quick comment. my wonderful wife, Martha, and I were up in Charlotte the other day, and I said, hey, wait, come here a second. So I turned the corner there and pulled right in there. I said, well, this is where I met George Norrie last year, the Ballantine Hotel.
Yep.
But anyway, you were on one of your shows last night or night before something. I was drifting in and out of sleep, and it was about a fella that had had his head blown off twice and transplanted another head on him two times.
I'm not so sure that really happened.
Well, that's why I'm calling. I thought, gosh, oh my, I'm a biochemist, and I know enough about medicine and all that. You've got to hook all kinds of nerves and blood vessels and veins, and you know how that goes.
Now, there's an Italian doctor who's been on our program, Barry, who has is transplanting and working. And he is going to, and it may be in a couple of years, he's got to do it fast, though, because this person's dying. He is really tempted to doing a head transplant. And he's got, of course, connect the arteries, the carotid arteries, and the spine into the neck.
Who are you going to get the head from?
From somebody who has died. You know, it's like a heart transplant donor. And, someone who's died, let's say, of a heart attack, you grab his head and you put him on the other person. And, it really is something.
We have to get that technology, buddy. We're going to be gone to the moon and everything and back to Mars. I mean, to Mars and back to the moon, too, I guess.
Just my luck to be put on a body that I just can't use the right way. And for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Bowles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.